All right.
Well, so how are you doing now? You feel lighter? Can you feel that a little bit of flow is already happening? Do you feel a sense of more flow? That there's kind of a little more ease of movement? It doesn't take long to sense it. If you can sense how you move through your life as it is, and after you've let off and thrown away a whole bunch of limiting burdens, negative stuff, beliefs and issues, you'll notice that you move with more fluidity. There's actually feels like there's more grace to your movement. Sometimes when you're with people, you're even think of things that you wouldn't have thought of before. Interesting conversations going unique ways. All sorts of little signs, little hints, little messages that things are just a little different. Since you're used to be looking at very strong distinctions between what you have and what you want, and really focusing on the gap, sometimes it's often difficult for you to sense how those little tiny things are giving you a message that you're moving in a more bright, happy direction. So pay attention. Pay attention to your feeling of lightness. Now, we have very often and very frequently said, and to most every person we have had a session with, individual session, we invite them to come visit us at night and to give us the stresses and issues of the day. And we invite you as well, if you wish to do that, to take advantage of our support. We will call in all your friends, so it can be the support of your whole team. And the way you do that is to imagine yourself floating in a starry sky. That's not too difficult. Once the light is out, you're snuggled into the sheets, under the covers. Your eyes are closed, ready to fall asleep. All you have to do is say, "Hey, Galexis," in your mind. And sense and imagine yourself surrounded by the starry sky, safe, loved by all these beings of light. And you can give to us, all of us, all the beings of light who have assembled for you, whatever it is you'd like to release, whatever you'd like to get rid of. Maybe some extra anger and frustration. Maybe some fear. Maybe some worry. Maybe some issue between you and another person that just doesn't seem to resolve. Or maybe for a message. Maybe for some kind of whisper or message or implication that you can catch, that you can use, maybe for a healing. And you don't really have to go all the way to where the points of light move up to above you and create a beam of light to surround you. But we'll do that. If you just call our name mentally, ask for us, and see the starry sky, we'll do that. We'll wrap you up in light. And that light could be any color. It could be an appropriate color for that evening. It could be your favorite color. It could just be white. Maybe that's what you like. But we do work in every shade of color, some not even physical, to particularly hone your chakras, your energy body, to lift stuff off of you, heavy stuff off of you, so that in the morning when you wake up, you can feel the lightness. You can allow yourself to be a little better, a little happier, a little bit freer in the morning. So we invite you to do that as well. And so now we want to talk about your future again. What we have found extremely effective is working with your future self. You know how at the end of that meditation, we said, hey, look there at the future of this bright track. There's a radiant light being there. That's you in the future. What if you could be that person in the future? Then would you not be able to manifest that glorious reality that you see around them, or that would be naturally and normally around a person of such radiance and splendor? Of course. So one of the ultra secrets of manifestation is to bring your future here to the present. After all, everything actually is present. There actually is no future or past. That's part of the illusion you wanted to play with in this physical world. And everything that is possible is happening right now. So why not be the future you of 2 years or 3 years hence? Why not? Because if you can be that future you there, what can you imagine your future of 2 or 3 years hence then to be? You see, it becomes exponential. So we're going to talk to you about two ways to work with your future. The first way is merging with your future self. This is what we're going to be doing shortly in a meditation at the concluding this event. And that is where you see the future self, the greater future self, the self that is experiencing your greater future, the one you want, the one you dream of, or perhaps even beyond your imagination, beyond at this point what you could dream or imagine for yourself right now. That gloriously happy life and the self for whom that is normal and natural and everyday. That future self is just as real as you are here. By putting your attention here on that future, you're basically creating the track and the flow between you and that future. Now, we want you to understand, when we're talking about life tracks, that when you have you make a decision or choice, that this determines whether you stay on the life track you're on or that you move over to another life track. Now, we want you to understand, since everything is happening right now, everything of the future, everything of the past, everything of all the other lifetimes of you, everything is happening right now. What we would like for you to think about is that every time you make a choice, there's a couple of choices you didn't make. And in the parallel reality zone, there are infinite parallels. There are infinite worlds. All those choices you did not make split off into a parallel reality. So there's a you who has made all the best, most wonderful choices And that's the you that's lined up a life track you want. You put your focus upon choices and took yourself in particular direction because of those choices. But the whole spectrum is available to you. And the reason we tell you this is so that you do not feel limited in your choices, nor do you feel frustrated that you've made incorrect choices or wrong choices, or that you hold it against yourself, that you're not in that fabulous future. That fabulous future exists right now. It's available for you to tap into as a resource by your choice. So don't hold any grudges against yourself. You're creating magnificent realities all over the place. You just don't see them because your focus of attention by your choice is right here. And many people, by their focus of attention, want to focus on the problem. Now, psychology has been built up, for the most part, focusing on problems. You go to a therapist, I have an issue with this. Let's go into it, says the therapist. Let's delve into it, look at it, understand it, figure it out, get into it, and really get out to, you know, crack that knot. Well, that works. But meanwhile, your focus of attention is on the problem. Excessively on the problem. Feeling the problem over and over and over again. Feeling the self that was suffering over and over and over again. And that's why spiritual coaching has become so much more popular. Because coaching talks about the future. Talks about where you're going. Talks about manifesting. It's much more uplifting. Some of you feel that you are required to go through the muck and the mire enough and get it. And we want to give you, if you haven't given yourself permission, we will be very happy to give you permission to stop doing that. You don't have to go and relive all your suffering events over and over and over. That does not help you in the least anymore. What helps you is to acknowledge that you made a decision, created a reality because of that decision, based upon who you thought you were at the time. And so therefore, that should make you aware of what you want to change about that. What do you want to really acknowledge about yourself? Where do you really want to go now? How do you want to respond to that type of thing? So you look over a sequence of circumstances that has happened in your past that was very unfortunate, unpleasant for you, and you rewrite it. Make a new choice as if it were real. When you imagine yourself changing the script, guess what happens in your consciousness? Your focal point of attention shifts to a more positive life track. So think about this. Anytime a challenge arises in your life, recognize you have the power of choice. That in the past you may have made certain types of choices based on who you thought you were and what you thought you could do. But now, you don't have to go there anymore. And you don't have to work it out. And you don't have to make it karma. You don't have to make it a given, a destiny piece of suffering. You can choose. And how do you choose? Is that you go, become one with your future self who is beyond the issue, who has healed the issue. And you experience your choice from the other side of the issue, from the issue resolved, healed, reality uplifted. We're going to do that in a little while. That's the technique. The basic of that is that you go be with your future self, get the frequency of it. Now, the frequency of your future self, the field of resonance, all the different frequencies around different areas of life of your future self are just expanded. Huge, light, filled, glorious. And what you're there to pick up is not how much better your physical life is, not how better you're manifesting, not how you're finally achieving that goal. No, it's who are you there? When you make those positive choices and you come out on the other side and you're in a more positive life track and you're in the flow, what does that feel like? And it's you. It's closer to the true you. It's closer to your true nature. So it's more you, in a sense, than you are now. You're not different from who you are now. You're more you. This is your spiritual path. Okay? So if you can imbibe the intangible essences, how you think, how you feel, what you believe, how your life feels as a flow, experiencing the ease, the unfoldment, effortless, magical, the miraculous as being some part of every day, and that's natural for you. If you can experience that, if you can imagine that, you can bring it back to the present. In a sense, install it in you as a memory. The future as a memory. Think about some event that's happened in your past that was very intense. You remember it very strongly. And you can, in your mind, go back to that event and you can feel what you felt then. You can sense a lot of things. You can go back and understand a lot of things. You can pick back up on who you were then. Well, do that with your future so that your future is a memory you bring to the present. And therefore, it's an integral part of how you see yourself. Because you see a lot of yourself in your memory. You know, what was your temperament like when you were a child? What was your favorite color? What did you like to do? What made you happy, unhappy, whatever? Were you speedy? Were you very calm and quiet? Did you run around a lot? Did you daydream a lot? There's a part of you that just absolutely loves you, that past you, that sweet, innocent you, that beautiful you. Now, take that and put that on your future, that you just love that future you as a memory, as what's natural for you. Because a child is going to act natural to their temperament. They can learn how to be different from their temperament, but they will always be unhappy and will want to return to their natural way of being. So just like that child you who expressed themselves and hit up against the walls of socialization, social control by the social integrator, the group consciousness, the parental training, and had to change and got twisted and distorted. But that spark that was there, so beautiful, go see it in full flower in your future. The second piece we want to talk about is intention. For you to have a really wonderful, positive future, You want to imagine a future, and you want to imagine the forms, the manifestations, the materializations that you do want that come with this greater self. You want to see those materializations working well for you. And so you intend to have those kinds of materializations, those kind of manifestations. You have an intention. As the greater you, when you hold an intention, it's basically that you choose that you're going to create this, that you can create this, you know you can create this, you're giving yourself permission to create it, and you're giving yourself permission to allow it to be created, and allowing yourself to receive it and to have it. That's a lot of giving to yourself. And you do it with intention. Intention includes all of that. I intend to have blah, blah, blah. I intend to manifest blah, blah, blah. You have what you want to put in there. In the blanks, you have what you want to manifest. And if you, that future you, brought back to the present, say, I intend, it is a choice, it is the will of the divine, because it is your true will. I intend this. Now understand, it may not show up exactly as you imagine it. It shows up to the vibrational equivalent to what you imagine. So if you see something that's starting to manifest, but it doesn't look exactly like what you wanted it to manifest, you haven't messed up. You're not off target. There's not any mistake. Sometimes you have to delay some things. Sometimes you have to shift and move in another direction temporarily. No big deal. If you can take the charge, the extra weight and significance off of it, and trust the divine plan that your best interest is being supported and supplied you by the actions of the universe for you, then you can take that intention and imbue it with tremendous authority and power. Trust, it will come to you vibrationally equivalent to the intention. And it's really best not to try and nail down exactly how you want everything to unfold. The flow is magical, and magic has its own way. And you don't see the magic happen. You just see the results of the magic. It takes time. There's a time lag between your intention and the manifestation. And in that time lag, if you maintain your intention, vibrationally speaking, magic will see to it and saw your guides working to pull stuff together, line stuff up for you, and put it on your life track for you. It'll all be there. So recognize working with your future self and the power of intention together is possibly the most amazing materialization tool you've got. So between now and the time we're going to have the meditation, we suggest that you start thinking about who you're going to be in 2 years. Maybe you're really antsy and impatient and you want to go, oh no, I want to go in a year. I want to get all this done in a year. No, stop. Impatience is an indication that you're in scarcity and fear. Do not go there. Impatience may also mean that you're angry, that the universe isn't like doing everything like magic the way you want it, like bam, bam, bam. There's issue. So don't push it. Don't push your reality. Don't try to make it speed up. If you do, it will slow down. And it's not because it's just being, you know, mean to you. Don't take it personally. You are the one who sabotages it by giving it too much importance, too much significance, and being in too much of a hurry for it. So you have to let that go. Your intention is that you will have it, and you do. It is yours. You claim it. It is your reality. You're creating it, so you will have it. You trust that it will happen because it's a divine plan. That you will have this, what you wish, in the materialization or its vibrational equivalent for you. So working with your future and the self you're going to be in the future is absolutely fabulous. So we suggest going to about 2 years or three. Go far enough away that you don't have so much charge on it or so much significance or so much importance or so much weight as you would with something that's close to you in time right now. But there's something that you do want to have materialized in 3 years or 2 years. So find that future you. From that position of that future you, say, this is what I want to have physically manifest as natural and normal for me. It has to be natural and normal and every day for you. Okay? Now, if you can do that, all sorts of magic, all sorts of flow starts to happen. Now, there's a lot of ways that you can sustain the flow, that you can increase the magic, that you can build on it, and all that kind of thing. It's not part of our theme today. We're just talking about working with the future, okay? Creating that grander future by being that grander self now, okay? So, in just a little while, we will go on a journey, and you will be able to program, in a sense, your manifestations, your reality, the way you want it. So just let that be stewing around in your hopper. And meanwhile, what we would like to do now, for those of you who would like, who are curious or who have questions, we would like to take questions. This is your opportunity to write the seminar with us. If there's something that you would like clarification, Daniel will give you the mic.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
I heard that we've been looking at time linearly only for the last 500 years.
Yes.
And before that, we saw it as spiral and circulars and different shapes. Could you talk a little bit about that and how we can sort of become more flexible in our perception of time and how we utilize it?
All right. Well, one of the things that we were suggesting is to jump around in time, which is what we did with you in the first meditation. We took you on a life track. Now, it's very tempting to look at your life track as a linear direction or a linear path. But if you notice, you're constantly deviating maybe to another track over here, to this one, maybe to this one and this one. The track is only the extension of what you're aiming and who you are. It's only the extension. So think of it that way. Don't think of it as a linear future track. That here's, you know, here's an episode, that's 1 week, then the second week and the third week and so on. If you can start thinking about your life track as being what you might call a work in progress, what you're thinking about, what you're creating, what you're imagining, what you're putting together, then you don't get quite as stuck in that kind of linear format. If you start realizing how much the future is creating the present, it bumps you out of that cause and effect trap, which is probably the biggest difficulty in linear thinking. Linear thinking loves cause and effect. But if you ever notice cause and effect, there's a kind of desire to do research on cause and effect. People are always seeking cause. Mm-hmm. All right? They're seeking cause. Why? Because they're looking at the effects. And they're saying, what cause produced these effects? Well, frankly, what that means, if you notice, is where does your attention go first? It goes to the effect. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then it starts looking around creatively to try and find the cause. That's because you believe the cause is in the past. But the effect, by going to the effect first, essentially, recognize that you're really looking at, it may not be a cause at all, like you would think. Because you're looking at the effect, that's the cause of whatever has happened in your past. If you look at the future as the cause, then you don't get stuck running around in the past trying to figure out, was it this? Was it this? Was it this? And meanwhile, limiting yourself with all sorts of little potential limiting beliefs. Understand, if you do a cause and effect and you figure that out, oh, I got that health problem because I ate that food, right? If you get into that kind of cause and effect, you've created an allergy, right? You've created a health condition so that now you have a limiting belief based on this food that you can never eat that food again without getting sick. That's how you work it, how you do it, right? So next time you get fascinated by an effect, and your mind, your monkey mind, your brain, wants to go and find the cause, then go into the future. Well, this effect is happening right now. Where am I headed in the future that would produce this effect? Right now. If you can do that, you can kind of bump out of all of this kind of linear past marches steadily to the present, second by second, click, tick, 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 tick to the future, tick, 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 tick to the farther distant future, tick, tick. Now, it's handy for visualization purposes, but yes, it doesn't work that way. Circular time is much more aligned to the cycle of the moon, the sun, the earth around the sun. That's why the ancients celebrated the solstices and equinoxes and the times in between. It was the honoring of the repetitiveness. If you have an issue, an emotional issue, and it tends to show up in a certain particular way, let's say you keep connecting with potential business partners that end up being totally lazy and running off with the money. Okay. If you get into something like that, you will find yourself going through cycle after cycle after cycle. It all repeats. Everything repeats. Until you change who you perceive yourself to be. That's outside of time space.
Got it.
And then you bump out of linear time. Because mm-hmm. you can be whoever you want to be.
Right.
Anytime. The opportunity is there. Spiral and cyclical time, you have to be aware not to let yourself get trapped by that either, by what you may think it is. And the people will want to do ritual with it. That's beautiful. But recognize everything is happening at once. The now is all you got. It's everything. And when you can kind of get into that now, be present, be really here as much as you can and really perceive what you can perceive here, then you're outside linear time. That too. And finally, to get rid of linear time, we would recommend that you fire your inner slave driver. The slave driver is the part of you that tells you what you should be doing, because if you don't do it, something bad will happen, or if you don't do it, you're a bad person. So it's either guilt or fear, fear or guilt. Okay? And it will push you, drive you to achieve something. And people who go into burnout just have extra tough slave drivers. Slave drivers are always trying to get you to achieve some kind of goal. And because you aren't there yet, you're some lazy son of a gun, and you got to work harder. They're always telling you you're not enough, you haven't done enough. You need to do more. Get that off your back. Be free of the slave driver. Fire the slave driver. Send your slave driver off on a, give him a retirement party, a watch, you know, a speech, some flowers. And appreciate all the work your slave driver did. You installed it to motivate you to do something, to get something done. And send your slave driver to give them their own island with a mansion on it and servants and stuff, so they don't have to do anything anymore. They don't have to fuss over you anymore. And then learn your true motivation, your motivation from love, from joy, your true will, and let that move you. Now, this is a big job. We're not going to pretend that we can talk about it in two or three sentences, and that's as easy as it is. Okay? Some people spend years dismantling their slave driver and trying to find out what they really, really, really want. Okay? But if you have difficulty figuring out what you want, it's because your slave driver's in the way telling you what you should want, or what you should have, or what you haven't gotten yet because you've been too lazy. Or you've been doing the wrong thing. Or you've been having too much time off. Right? Slave drivers don't like you to take vacations.
Yep.
They don't like you to take solitude daydream breaks. Mm-hmm. Not allowed. Right. They come in sometime in your 20s. And generally by your 30s, your slave driver is installed. Most often. So if you're young enough, you might be able to fire the slave driver before it takes over your life. But if not, spend whatever time you need to heal that. That will heal linear time and give you the magic potential to be who you want whenever you want and to create realities that defy explanation. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay,
great answer.
Hello, Galexis.
Hello.
I have a question. When you were speaking of intention, and when you were saying it may not really show up in the time that you imagine, and it's really about the vibrational equivalent. So I guess my question really on that is, I feel like sometimes that means that if I want to maintain the vibrational equivalent of what it is that I want, that I have to be constantly in a happy and joyous place, in a place of peace, in order to do that. And how long do I have to maintain that? Right? That I can't let myself really feel some of the frustrations and other things that I feel. And you understand where I'm going with that?
Right.
Like, how
right.
long do you have to keep that up?
That's good question. Very good question. Okay. The first thing to realize is that, yes, you're going to have some frustrations and this and that in your daily life. However, your perception and your attitude towards your future absolutely need to shift. You need to be able to trust the divine plan. In order to do that, you have to regularly, okay, regularly is the key word here, because that establishes a frequency, it establishes a wave, okay, regularly. Probably daily, we would say, to go over your intentions from the point of view of you in your future. Okay, so we would suggest working with your future self every day to go to visit that future who already has all of these things that you want, to sit inside her and be her and feel her freedom, her peace, her energy, her love, her magnificence, her creativity. Oh my, just feel it. Feel it and really grok it and recognize this is really me. And then bring that back to your daily life and now look at your frustrations. Now look at your little issues. Now look at your daily stuff. How would you respond to that from that perspective that you just got? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, if you ignore all the little daily frustrations and little details and challenges and so on and so on, then you're running and hiding, which means you're shrinking in fear. That won't get you a good future. You know that. If you fight on this and try to fight them through and try to, and let them go and da-da-da and do over-processing of your daily issues, you're going to find you have too much focus on them. That shrinks you. Good realities don't then occur. So the way to counteract and counterbalance all of that is, first of all, to bring that frequency of your future self into the present once, maybe twice a day. It only takes a minute to take it in there, claim it, and to say, I am a divine being having a spirit, having a wonderful time, having a physical body experience. It was my adventure. I chose to come here, and I have my mission. I'm going to complete my mission. And I'm enjoying this. My mission is to really enjoy myself, know who I am, have fun with my life, really manifest a really great life, have a fabulous time. Okay, I'm on mission here, okay? And so from this perspective, I know that everything that I am dealing with in my daily life, okay, is manageable, first of all. Number two, I know that I'm in my power. And I'm a free being, and I can make choice. So therefore, everything that's showing up as issues in my daily life, I'm going to look at from this higher perspective, knowing that I can make choice, taking my power back where it's useful, loving myself. Remember, always the boundaries is that every choice that you make is a choice that empowers you, that enables you to love more, that enables you to value yourself more. So, okay, I'm going to use those, you can say. And if you can remember that, you start approaching life from a different vantage point rather than the one who is being victimized by it, taken advantage of it, being overwhelmed by it, being overloaded with it, being stressed and in conflict about it. It takes most of that away, actually. And you don't even have to sit down and do an hour of yoga and meditation to do that. You basically get into your future self, claim that self, that spiritual self that you are. I claim it. I may not feel fully like I'm this spiritual being, but I know that this is who I'm becoming because this is who I am. You do know that much, right? So you remind yourself that you know that much. Also recognize that your divine plan, your will and God's will, together is for you to come into this physical world and do stuff that you want to do so that you can have fun, so you can create a beautiful life, so you can share love with the world, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? And if you already know the specific points of your own work, true great work, or whatever, you can go down those, but you can intend to know what your great work is. You can intend to receive the support of your guides and your spiritual friends. You can intend to deal with all your issues from that higher perspective. Now, it takes a little bit of practice to stay there, because generally when the challenge first shows up, you go back into the learned response that you made when you were a child or an adolescent or a young adult, when you first came across that particular type of issue. You didn't have any skills on how to deal with it, so you made something up. You made up some kind of strategy. So the first thing that happens is that when you get the stimulation of the issue or the problem or the challenge or the stress, the option or the tendency is to go running back to the automatic knee-jerk reaction of the self that figured out, okay, I guess this is how I'm going to respond to it, right? And so if you can kind of step out of yourself just a little bit and observe. Okay, this is the second part of this. This is very interesting. If you can observe yourself from the higher you looking at the lesser you with love and compassion for what you're going through. And that's what you're going through now, right? The daily life. And if you can step and have that observer looking at you from that perspective, you'll find that you will shift so fast into being empowered, into finding really creative solutions to issues that would never have occurred before as if you had stayed in victim consciousness, if you had stayed in powerlessness. You wouldn't have even thought of it. All sorts of magic can rush to your aid to give you these ideas, to give these impressions, people coming into your life to help you. You can call them angels if you like. People just popping in, doing stuff, helping you, giving you a message, loving you, shining light on you, something. You'll have more and more and more of those. Now, this observer you is the greater you. It's not as great as your higher self, who is greater than all your lifetimes, but it is a greater you of this lifetime. Of all the themes that you're exploring in this lifetime, of all the things you want to learn and put together and whatever trails you want to blaze from the darkness to the light, that's the one who's observing, who's taking notes. That's the one who really is learning. What's going on? What's the old pattern? And what new pattern do I want to respond to it with? I am responsible. I am able to respond here as a light being in my power. What's that going to be like? What can I? I've got to imagine it. What would, in my imagination, be my response to this if I were a fully realized being? You know, Christians say, well, what would Jesus do? If you were able to step into Jesus, look through his eyes with unconditional love and compassion at yourself, what would you conclude? What would occur to you? You don't know until you play, until you do that. But you can step into your greater self. It's more or less impossible to imagine what it would be like if you stepped into Jesus or God directly or Goddess directly or the great guru or whatever. You're not there yet. But you are greater at some level, and you can access that consciously. That will enable you to live your life with so much more ease, more flow, more joyousness, with a higher vibration that maintains itself higher and higher, and that will enable the magic to sustain this vibration so that you get something of good vibration. Now, another piece of this is that as something starts to happen, or if it stops happening, and you realize the energy's dropping, then the fastest thing to do is go step back into your future self. Expand your self-image back out, get back into the divine being, stretch it, stretch it, stretch it, push it, push it, push it, stretch it. Let your auric field be a mile in diameter. Right? Just huge energy field. I'm really enormous. I'm huge. I'm a 30-foot tall being of light. If you can just kind of step into that, bump yourself right out of that old space, you'll find that that will keep things going. Most of the time, you can retrieve things that are in the danger of dropping out that you want. You can, if good things are happening to you, you can do that, and you can sustain them. You can create momentums of them. You can build realities that way. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense, and that's helpful. Thank you. Thank you.
That's, and you've got this at your beck and call any time, any day, at any point. So how about that? You carry with you the seeds of power, the seeds of light that you can use any time. All right, so who's next?
Hot potato.
Hello, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to loop back around to the time thing. So many of us are waking up to our gifts, to be able to get glimpses and visions of things that are to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it started happening to me back in the 90s. And, of course, I would get simultaneous flashes, and one would come true right away, and the other one either didn't come true or came true through years and years later. I'm wondering if there's a way that we can be better at seeing or understanding that time frame. I mean, does that make sense?
Well, in a linear reality, yes. In a linear reality, you'd like to have it like a business plan, right?
Yes.
And you have it all charted out, you know, you put it on the wall and, you know, you got it all charted out, this, then this, and then this, and then this takes about 3 months, and then we got about 6 months here. And you would really like that.
Yes, I would.
But
the slave driver in me.
Well, it would be the slave driver in you that would actually put together one of those.
Yes.
However, the thing is that since reality is not linear, since everything's happening right now, any choices that you make could take you completely off of that track of that being fulfilling something or that showing up in your life or whatever. So you can change things from moment to moment. You just don't know what you're changing until it happens down the line. You say, oh, okay, I see I'm going this way instead of that way. So evidently, you know, I'm being led over here. The thing is that you don't really, you don't find it useful, actually, to nail down anything in the future. You cannot do that, number one. But it's not useful to even try. Because as soon as you do that, you're betraying, you know, and revealing that you think this is awfully important. This is too important. I've got to really, I really, really have to have that. That I've really got to go there. I've really got to know that. And I got to know that now so that I don't have to go through this in-between period where I feel disoriented and I don't really know what I'm doing. I really want to know what I'm doing. Why am I here? Come on. We got to get it. We got to get it done. Yes, that's part of that slave driver, but a lot of that is a discomfort dealing with the spaces and times in between things. Because you see, you're continuously manifesting stuff and also continually dreaming new stuff. And then there's also this other part of you. Now, what in the heck is this other part of you doing? The other part of you looks like there's just kind of wandering through life going, huh? This other part of you seems to just not want to do anything. This other part of you doesn't seem to have much motivation. Doesn't have a plan. This part of you just wants to kind of hang out, have a good time, relax, sleep some more, maybe go lie by the beach. This other part of you is not too comfortable with doing nothing. Okay, doesn't know what to do with it. What is nothing? Why do nothing? You ought to be doing something. You ought to be productive. You ought to be doing something all the time. But what we're saying here is that when you are uncomfortable with doing nothing and not knowing where you're going, you're in the chaos. You're in the womb of the goddess. You're in the void. And this is the place where all new things emerge. This is where ideas come, where creativity bubbles up. This is also the same place where you can connect with your soul, with your true self. And in this culture, you're trained from day one. Don't do that. That's a waste of time. Don't sit around and daydream. That's a waste of time. Don't just hang out and fall asleep in front of the TV. You're just wasting your life. Don't just go on a vacation and trip and just hang out at the seashore for no particular reason except you want to be there. You're wasting your time. You know those messages, right? So when you get to that space of nothing, which is always in between everything, and there's spaces of nothing available almost all the time, you get really antsy and nervous. What's wrong? Something's wrong. What am I doing wrong? What am I not seeing? Something's wrong and I don't see it. Oh my gosh, it could come and hit me and just destroy me. I don't know what's, anything could happen in the next moment. Oh my God, oh my God. Now we're exaggerating slightly. Or maybe not. But just be aware that the nothing space is where you contact your true self. And the reason is that really, you personally are no thing. God is no thing. Thing is limited. No thing is unlimited. You are unlimited. Your nature is infinite. Your nature is abundant, creative, loving, healing, imagining, creating, enthusing, learning, knowing, playing, laughing. That's you. You are no thing. So when you are in one of these void places, your slave driver, your mind, will go nuts. And it will say, I need to know what's coming. I need to know what's happening. I need to plan. I need to make something happen. I need to get something going. And all that does will work against you, because in this no thing place, in this void, is where you integrate everything you've learned, come to terms with it, comes to peace with it, integrate it, bring it into you and be part of you, and where you grow as a being. You know, if you keep doing and never really have a pause period, how are you going to integrate everything you're learning? You can't. You'll just burn out. Or you'll just lose it and have to start over. Who wants to do that? So in the quiet, being with you, being with yourself, loving yourself, give yourself permission to do nothing. Give yourself permission to just be. See, being is the feminine, doing is the masculine. They should be in balance. But you're in a masculine-dominated culture which says you should be doing all the time. But you are blazing a new trail. So you're going to encounter more of this time period where you need to learn about being than other people. You will know more about being. You'll learn that you can be who you are as you live your life, it takes a certain focus of attention, a certain way. When you learn how to relax and not do, you can be, and then anything that you do is what the Buddhists call not doing. In your not doing, it means that you are doing the actions of your life, but you are being who you are. And so therefore it doesn't fall into the trap of the linear planning, achieving, and then the results of the achievements that you think you need to have, right? The results of the achievement. If I achieve this and I achieve that, then I will have such and such. So you're making your success conditional to your achievements, and that has nothing to do with anything. So learn to do nothing and be totally comfortable in it, because the slave drivers could, of course, run in and say, guilt, fear, guilt, fear, guilt, fear, guilt, fear, trying to get your butt off, you know, the chair, get you going, get you out of bed, get you going. How do you motivate yourself to get out of bed in the morning? Do you get up when you feel like it? Or do you have to have that alarm on every morning to make yourself get up and do the work you're supposed to, you must do? So if you can be in non-doing, if you can feel okay about doing nothing, then the stuff that you do will be done at a higher vibrational frequency. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, that helps tremendously. It's a little bit in opposition to what a lot of the teachers... I have this feeling because there's so many people out there teaching metaphysics now, and it's like, work on the law of attraction. Do this, do this, do this, do, 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 and just counter to what you just said. I've been having the best time of my whole life just being.
Isn't it wonderful?
God, just going for walks and knowing these are the moments. I mean, this is it.
This is it. Yeah. This is why you're here.
So don't send us any more visions. No, you know what I mean? Like when we get these visions and get glimpses, that just, I need to practice that. I don't have to, I can detach from when they're.
Yeah, you don't, it doesn't force you. It's not really saying, okay, here's a vision of the future. Here's a possibility. What do you feel about it? It's not really saying this is what your destiny is and you must be of service to the planet now and do this now. See, it's not really like that. What it is that you're creating the future. And you have to understand that when you have visions like that, you and other people are having visions like that. And not everybody's gonna, hardly anybody's actually gonna bring them to fruition. But the point is that what you're doing is that you're putting these visions into the common consensus pool of ideas about the future. And it's starting to change things.
Yeah.
Okay?
But
so you're actually doing something.
I have received specific ones, like I was told to write that book in a flash. They showed me the cover, and then they said, you're going to meet all these people. And then they told me how many it was supposed to sell. Boom, boom, boom. And, of course, the first one happened. Not right away. Took a little longer than I expected, but you know what I mean? I never aspired to be a writer, so it came through. And it just happened. My soul guided me to do what I was supposed to do to get there.
All right. If you feel the call to do it,
yeah,
then the vision is your soul's call.
Okay. Okay. Right. That's what I think.
But if you get a vision of what's going on in the world, or what you know that you ought to be over there, you know, saving these people.
Yeah.
In this other. Then stop. Wait a minute. That's a social cultural vision.
Okay, got it.
Okay, but that's something you want to send that out to your world so that those people who are ready to do that will catch it. You know, add it to the mix.
Yeah.
You can add your intentions to the world. You intend, you know, that there's going to be GMO labeling. You can do that. I intend that eventually every state will will ratify gay marriage. You know, you can see it's happening. You can see the flow is in that direction. You can add your intentions. It can accelerate the flow for the world, for the nation, anybody. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of you are having these ideas because not just for yourself, but for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of these give you this soul's call, and it takes so long to do, and it's so hard to do, then stop.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it. Go back into the void until you can kind of get a clue where to go next. That's the place you go for visions. If you want a really good, juicy vision, you have to give yourself permission to do nothing and just be, and then they come.
Yes, exactly.
Okay? So knowing about the future and the timings is just, it's just all mentalizing.
Okay.
And something, though, that is precise, like what you got about the book and everything, we want you to understand that from our perspective, we see that there's no time. So as far as we see it, everything looks instantaneous. And we know it's not for you, right?
Yes.
We don't have time, but you do, right? So we get into, in a sense, into your heads, and we go, oh my, there's this obstacle, and then there's all that maintenance of the body, and then there's all this, you know, having to pay the bills and go buy the food, and my gosh, there's so much maintenance. Where do you really get to get ahead, so to speak, into your projects or and so on? So we understand that it may sometimes seem like it's very slow.
Yes.
Very slow. But understand that if it's going very slow, it means that you can attend to every detail.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And very often, if it goes too fast, you miss the crucial detail that you could, if you had been able to do, to stay awake of that and to work with that and to make that shift and make a different choice there, that detail, it would have soared. So when it's slow, be grateful because you have plenty of time to unravel any kind of issue, any kind of situation. Okay? So take the pressure off.
Yes.
Take all the pressure off. Every last bit of it.
You're giving me permission. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Give yourself permission.
I know.
Every day. If you don't feel like giving yourself permission and the slave driver's really rough, call us in and have us, you know, route the slave driver for you for a little while.
Oh, thank
give you a little
you
break
so much.
From it, right?
Thank you.
Okay, because it's not worth it to beat yourself up because you haven't achieved something that to your guides on the other side, oh, well, here's a book. Okay, all right, so there's a book. Okay, well, damn it, download it. I have a computer, I have it on, download it. And I'll publish it. There you go. You're welcome, dear one. All right.
Okay.
One more.
Hello.
Yes.
Thank you. I have a question. You know, I look at the world and the people, including myself, and I see this like orphan mentality because we don't really know where we came from beyond our parents. And even some of us were abandoned by them. So I see that as maybe the core of a lot of our confusion. And I'm just kind of wondering, you know, for me, I found some relief through the spirits and nature. But a lot of people are shy or embarrassed to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of wondering if we're ever going to.
Okay.
You know.
Well, what we're kind of getting is that You know, one of the basic human needs is belonging. Okay? And in order to belong, you have to have someone you belong with, right? You have to have either a group or a concept that feels true for you. Or a group of people who work on the same focus as you, have the same interests as you. Another way of belonging is who's your family? Who are your ancestors? Who are your people? What is the nature of your people? And a lot of people do look to, is a popular movement of figuring out your ancestry online. You know, people are like, okay, and figuring out this ancestor and drawing family trees and really, in a sense, it gives a certain sense of belonging. But you chose to come and manifest yourself here at this time on the planet when, as you say, there's an orphan mentality. So why would you have done that? There's a positive reason. Okay? It was, in a way, an effort on the part of your team that you work with, because they know what all the other lifetimes you've lived, all the other stuff you do, all the other connections that you've made. And so what they're doing is basically trying to separate you from your past and from the identity of your people, of your ancestors. They're trying to separate it off. And the reason they're doing that is so that you will create a new and find and build a spiritual family. Because you're yearning to find that connection. You're yearning to find an identity where you belong. You understand what we're saying?
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what you want to look for is your spiritual family. And these are other people on the level that you are, on a light level, a vibrational level that you are, who are coming into manifestation, into life at this particular time, to work on building a matrix of light and love and healing for the planet. You're doing your part. They're doing their part. You may not know them all. We call this network the Society of Dreamers, because you're dreaming a new world. And you are linked to them by threads of light. It's a huge network. All right? Now, there have been some studies which, in which certain autistic children are able to see this network. And they say, oh, it's like the internet, it's just on the psychic level. And they can identify other children that they meet with at night and do things with. And they know that child, other child that lives in another town and just happens to, you know, they come together at a autistic, you know, gathering or whatever. And there's that other, oh, yeah, I see you. They know each other. How come? They never knew each other's name, called each other, sent an email to each other, texted each other, ever. They met on the inner because they could see the net. You're all part of a net. Recognize you belong here on the planet. You chose to come here at this time, you and these others that are part of the net, to bring in the love and light and healing, which, what does that lead to? Where are you going with it? Where are you dreaming? You're dreaming oneness. Mm-hmm. Okay? And oneness is where that full satiation of identity happens. In oneness, you are still the individual, but you're part of the whole, of soul of the whole, of and everything. It's the most extraordinary and wonderful experience. Those of you who have ever experienced, really truly experienced the oneness, and can actually go through a period where you can see everything, buildings, animals, plants, people, cars, sky, is all made up of the same stuff. An animate universe filled with life, filled with soul substance. When you can see consciousness in the light coming out of a light bulb, when you can feel, oh my, there's consciousness there. When you can feel that and feel that, know that the divine is everywhere, as it is in you, right? Then that sense of belonging will release from you a need to know your genetic past, a need to know, it'll release the need to know your cultural past, because it's no longer part of your identity. Your identity is in the future. Your identity is oriented towards the future. You came here to work for the future, and so that's why, in a sense, you gave yourself that quote-unquote orphan mentality and came in at a time where people are feeling disconnected from their roots. Why? So that they can create new, more beautiful roots, so they can create something new. It's a new world now. Does that make sense to you?
Very much so.
Right.
Thank you.
So know that you're kind of on the leading edge of this, but we understand how your soul kind of yearns for that sense of identification. It kind of yearns for that kind of sense of self that has emerged from this. Now, if you really want to experience some of that, you can do work which is called constellation work. Okay? A guy named Bert Hellinger in Germany developed this whole thing called family constellations. But what you do is that you can have people stand in for family members, and you can look at any kind of issue, a belonging, for example, and so on. And what will be invoked by this group of people taking these respective positions in the network of you? They can play you the role of your ancestors back 6, 7 generations. You can feel it. You can know things. You can discover that 4 generations back, you know, your grandmother, your great-great-grandmother back in there, had a nervous breakdown. You can feel it. You can sense it. You can see how it has created reverberations in the DNA. If you find that fascinating, we recommend that you try constellation work.
Thank you, I do.
Okay, all right. And that may be a place where you can find avenues of profound healing to share with others as well. Okay.
Perfect.
All
right. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much for that question. And thank all of you for being willing to be on the hot seat to ask these questions and to share with us the creation of this seminar. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to go on a break for about 10 minutes. And then when we come back, we will have a meditation for you where we're going to do all sorts of interesting things with, guess who? Your future, right? All right. And we're going to set up some really blazingly brilliant futures for you with no pressure. Okay? All right. Okay, we're just going to pull you effortlessly towards these futures, okay? And that's so much more fun, isn't it, than getting the slave driver in there? All right. All right, so 10 minutes. We'll see you in a bit. Farewell.